Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The Gospel of the Lord. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Those words inspired by the Holy Spirit in the heart and the lips of St. Elizabeth similarly are experienced by the Church when we look at today's first reading from the book of Revelation, where we see another woman about to give birth in pain, as Mary herself gives birth to the Church in the maternity ward of Golgotha. But today these words have special resonance for all of us in this hemisphere, that 487 years ago, during these three-day period, from December 9th to December 12th, the mother of our Lord was coming dressed as a mestiza Aztec princess, pregnant, about to give birth to the Lord in us. She came asking for a teocalli, a temple to be built, so that she would be able to receive her children and bring them to her son. And she wants us, pregnant with that son in the sacraments, to be able to go out as teocallis, to help others similarly build a worthy dwelling place for Jesus within their cultures, within their bodies and souls, within everything. What an extraordinary thing happened in the life of St. Juan Diego. It's interesting, on these years where we have December 9th on Sunday, when we only have one bookend, really, of this feast to celebrate, that we are able to focus on Juan and Mary at the same time, because they really do go together. She came as his mother with a special predilection for somebody who was on the outskirts, somebody who would consider himself, just as he himself said, a piece of dung, a leather strap, totally worthless. And she wanted to make him her great ambassador. What we celebrate today totally involved him. The tilma that he wore in Indian mentality was an external sign of the person's interiority. And Mary wanted that tilma, just as God had said about her in the Annunciation, not "give me any old virgin, any girl who will say yes," but chose her with extraordinary specificity. So Mary chose Juan Diego with extraordinary specificity. She wanted him as her ambassador, and she wanted his tilma, the external sign of his own personality, with which he vested himself on that cold December morning on the hill of Tepeyac. When she appeared to him, Juan was a 57-year-old widow, 7 years a Christian. The Franciscans and the conquistadores had only arrived a decade earlier, and he was among the first wave of a few who had become Christians. The vast majority of his contemporaries were more turned off by the vices of the conquistadors than they were turned on to the faith by the virtue of the Franciscans. But he was one who accepted faith early and had an incredible love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Every Saturday and Sunday, he would shuffle, as his first biographers would say, 15 miles each way up and downhill to be able to go to Mass. It was on one of those journeys to daily Mass, December 9, 1531, that he heard a resplendent lady calling, "Juanito Dieguito, come here." That's when she made him her emissary to go to Bishop Juan de Zumarraga to ask for that temple to be built on that hill in which he was appearing. He dutifully obeyed, was mistreated by the staff of Bishop Zumarraga. But he himself was kind, but obviously wasn't going to act on what he thought were the delusions of a sincere but clearly mistaken Indian. When he went back a total failure, thinking that that was a confirmation that she needed somebody else, she spoke to him as a tender mother of mercy, told him to have confidence in her spiritual maternity, and sent him back. But again, there he went. This time he was expecting to be treated like a nobody. When the handlers of the bishop looked at him, they met him with cold exasperation and let him wait out in a frigid courtyard for hours until the bishop was able to receive him again very briefly. The bishop again was moved by his simplicity, but wasn't going to build a temple just at his word. So she asked him to get a sign from the lady Diego thought was appearing to him, a sign that was secret only to him. And on that next time when he was trying to go visit his sick relative and tried to escape from Our Lady going on the opposite side of the hill, nevertheless, she found him, told him to go pick what all of a sudden became a garden of Castilian roses in the frost on the top of Tepeyac Hill, to take them and his tilma back to Bishop Zumarraga. And he dutifully obeyed. She told him that she had already healed his uncle. And when he went back into that courtyard, we saw not only that asked for sign of Bishop Zumarraga, but we saw the sign that he wouldn't have even thought about asking, that in Juan's tilma, that same virgin who was appearing to him on that mountain was now appearing to the bishop, to all those in his room, and to all of us still to this day, 487 years later. An extraordinary story that's all true. As a scientist, it always moves me when we do scientific analyses of miracles, because God constantly gives confirmations of our faith. We see it here. All the infrared studies show not one paint stroke. Nobody has even come up with a plausible guess of how this type of image would have been able to be imprinted on a tilma. When you take a tilma of the age and you put it even in glass under the right temperatures, it basically totally disintegrates after 20 years. Yet this is still here. You've got so much symbolism, all in synthesis, from the Aztec culture as well as the Christian culture that was coming. to show that what Christianity was doing in this hemisphere was not to be foreign. The greatest miracle of all happens in her eyes. When you blow up her eyes 25,000 times, you're able to see 18 figures in the eyes, including Bishop Zumarraga with a white beard, as the images show us in the day, with the same types of effects in her eyes that happen in living human eyes today, with the refraction that takes place, with the flipping, all taking place, that in her eyes is exactly the scene that would have taken place when Juan opened up his tilma in the bishop's parlor. Mary has each of us this morning in the pupil of her eyes, we could say, just like she had them. Today, as we celebrate her feast with incredible joy, with all the people of our hemisphere and together with the Holy Father, people throughout the world, we give thanks for a mother who loves us so much that she came to give birth to her son in us. We share Elizabeth's and St. John's in the book of Revelations and Juan Diego's and so many others' joy-filled wonder that the mother of our Lord should come to us. She wants to assist us to build a teokali fit for her son, where she can meet us together with him. And then, like Juan Diego, she wants to send us out. May we be as faithful to this, our mission, as he was when he met Our Lady on the way to daily Mass.